Well, this was a big week for children all across America in elementary schools because this was the week for Read Across America. In fact, Thursday was the celebration of the birth of a great American, Dr. Seuss. And so it was, as it is every year at this time, on Dr. Seuss's birthday, there's Read Across America Day, and volunteers all across America go into schools and read books to children. Well, a number of our people do this as well. Many of our folks are involved in other times and other ways in our two schools here in East Ridge. So a number of you were out reading in the school, one of the schools, and I know our pastoral staff, we all went over to the school and read books to the children. It was just, it's great fun to do. And so I had finished reading the books that I read the children in Mrs. Kovac's fourth grade class. And we were trying to find somebody else, and so I sat down in the lobby of the elementary school, and there was a display on the wall, and I was reading the display on the wall. And I was reading it, and I thought, boy, those sound familiar. Where have I seen these before? And I'm thinking about, where have I seen these before? And then it dawned on me where I'd seen these before. These were sayings, principles from the book by Stephen Covey entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. How many of you have heard that before? Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, read it? It's worth reading. And so they had these seven habits in the school lobby they were teaching the children. I thought, that's a really good idea to teach the children the seven habits of highly effective people. One of the habits of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is this habit and this principle. It is begin with the end in mind. So it reminds us, don't just live for right now, and you're making decisions right now. Don't just think about right now. When you begin something, think about the long term, and if I follow this path, where will I end up? Where will it lead me? Begin with the end in mind. We're in a series entitled Becoming a Person of Dynamic Faith. It's based on the great faith chapter, the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, the book of Hebrews is a book that is written to Jewish people who have come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. And as they're following Christ, they felt so much pressure from the old life and was pulling them back, and they wanted to go back. But the book of Hebrews is a really long encouragement note to keep moving forward with Christ. And then the author of Hebrews comes to the 11th chapter, and he takes the history of the Jewish people, and he looks back in their history, and he says, you know, all through your history, your life has been marked by people who would believe God by faith, and they move forward by faith. And as they read those accounts, they would say, hey, we too are to be people of faith to move forward. And we now, reading it, oh boy, two millennia later, we read the very same words and we say, hey, there were people of the past who believed God and moved forward. And so we also are encouraged to believe God and to move forward. And so far we have taken time and learned and grown and experienced the lives of these great heroes of the faith. But this morning, take your Bible and let's continue in Hebrews chapter 11. This time, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. And we'll read in a few moments through verse 22. I'll give you a moment to find it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, and then we'll read through verse 22. Now, these three verses tell us a very brief portion of the life of three different men. What's interesting is that with each of these men, God tells us a lot more about their life story than is even referenced here. But God chooses in this portion of Scripture to highlight for each of these men one small portion of their life. For each of these men, God chooses to highlight their dying days, the very end of their life, and what was on their minds when they came to the end of their life. Do you know what you'll find was on their minds? What was on their minds is looking beyond the moment. And you will find that we live in the now. And we as people, if we're going to become people of overcoming dynamic faith, must learn while we're living in the moment to look beyond the moment for what God can do and what God will do and what God could do based on what God says. We have to be people who, while we are living in the moment, have to remember what's the end. And we journey now, always keeping the end in mind. So let's read about these men who became men of dynamic faith. Hebrews chapter 11, would you stand with me, please? I'll begin reading in verse 20. Follow along as I read aloud. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's pray and ask God to help us to remember that if we're going to become people of dynamic faith, we have to always be people that look with the end in mind. Let's pray. Lord, it is easy to be so caught up in the now of life that we forget the end. And so as each of us is on a journey, for some it will mean people that need to come to Christ. For some, it's people that need to take another step of obedience. For others, it's people that really need to make a drastic change in their life. So whatever it is you want to do in our lives, we are asking that you, by your Spirit, would help us to understand the reality of who you are and who we are. Help us to be really honest with ourselves. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to help to that end and to do what we cannot do as the preacher and a hearer. I want you to help me to know your power to preach and to receive and to be changed by your grace. And so help us in the few moments we have together. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. People who look beyond the moment, I want you to notice first from this passage, see the possibilities of what God can do. People who look beyond the moment are people who see the possibilities of what God can do. You've noticed in your Bible, chapter 11, verse 20, we're told of Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, there is a description here, a brief description of an incident in the past. We read about that incident in the book of Genesis, chapter 27. So keep your place in Hebrews 11 and go with me to the very first book of the scriptures in chapter 27 of the book of Genesis. Genesis, chapter 27. The incident begins in verse 1 of that chapter. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, "My son." He said to him, "Behold, here am I. And he said, "Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out in the field and take me some venison, and make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Well, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, heard this. Now, they had a really dysfunctional family. And they played favorites. Guess who Isaac's favorite was? Yeah, Esau. Guess who Rebekah's favorite was? Yeah, Jacob. So Rebekah hears this, and I won't read the account for time, but Rebekah says, "Now, Jacob, did you hear what I just heard? Your dad is going to put his blessing on Esau before he dies. He's out hunting to get some venison. You know how he likes that meat. There's just the way he likes it prepared." He said, "While he's out, how about if we do this? I want you to take two kids of the goats and you kill them. And I want you to bring them to me, and I'll prepare them and just spice it just right so that it tastes just like the venison that your daddy loves. And Jacob says, but Mom, wait a minute. You know how hairy my brother is? And look at me, I'm a smooth man. Dad's going to know it's me. And if Dad knows it's me, he's not going to give me a blessing. He's going to give me a cursing. And so she says, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some goat skin. We're going to put it on your hands, put it around your neck, and your dad won't know the difference. Now, you think how hairy that guy was. That is a hairy man. That's a man ape. My goodness gracious. So just as they planned it, kill the goats, fix it all up. Jacob walks into his dad. And his dad, who can't see very well, is I guess he had cataracts. I don't know what he had, but he had cataracts. He just couldn't see very well. Hey, is that my son? Is that you, Esau? Yes, sir, it's me. You sure sound like Jacob. Come here, boy, let me feel you. Reaches out and he puts his hand on his arms. Woo, he's hairy. Sure doesn't feel like Jacob. Must be Esau. Reaches his hand up around his neck. Feels that goat skin back there. Oh boy, sure feels like you. You smell a lot like Jacob, but you sure feel like Esau. Okay. And he feeds him the venison, or the goat that was prepared like Esau prepared venison. And then Jacob gives this blessing to Esau. Isaac gives this blessing to Esau. Would you please notice in your Bible, verse 38 of Genesis chapter 27. Verse 26. His father Isaac said unto him, come here now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Well, just as that is done, and Isaac gives his son Jacob the blessing that probably should have been reserved for Esau, guess who comes in from the field with his meat all prepared? Yeah, here comes Esau. And Esau realizes what his brother has done. His brother has deceived his father, and he has taken the blessing that Isaac was going to give give to Esau, and I mean, he is so mad. What has my brother done? Earlier, his brother deceived him out of his birthright, and now his brother deceives him out of the blessing that came from his father. Oh, is he upset? And he goes to Dad, Dad, could you do something for me? Well, son, I already gave my blessing. Dad, do you have any more blessings left? And he's weeping at his dad. Dad, would you please bless me? And so Isaac does bless his son Esau. We read about this beginning in verse 38. And Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, that thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Wow. Now, that's the story that is the incident recorded in the past. Now, here's my question. What was the intention of the epistle? Whenever God the Spirit led the author of Hebrews to write, why did he put this one event in this letter? There are so many other events he could have shared about Isaac and Jacob and Esau, but God chose this one event. Why did he do that? Well, God was not condoning the deception, nor was God condemning Isaac's lack of discernment. But God was commending his faith. Because truthfully, at this point, neither of these boys were much. In fact, neither of these boys were boys you'd be proud of if they were yours. In fact, you'd be embarrassed by them. You've got Jacob. His name means supplanter or deceiver. And you know, his whole life, until God changed his life, his whole life was a life where he was manipulated by deception. He wasn't much. But he was even better than the other one, Esau. In fact, Esau, when the book of Hebrews describes him, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, he's described as a profane person. So that he was a man who lived by his selfish desires. So this is really, these aren't boys to write home about. One who lives and manipulates by selfish deception. The other who lives by selfish desires. And he lives for what he wants when he wants it. But Isaac on this day, when he gives this blessing, we're told something about Isaac's faith that we would not know unless the book of Hebrews tells us about it. We're told, even though it was a bad situation, nothing good about it, we're told when Isaac blessed these children, he looked beyond the present realities of what their lives were and what was happening now. He looked beyond them and he saw the possibilities of what could happen when the God who brought a covenant with Abraham, the God who made these promises that he would not renege on, the God who could work in spite of these young men, in spite of these boys, to do his will in the future. Here's a man who by faith called out to the Lord, considering the possibilities. So there's the incident of the past, and there's the intention of the epistle. You say, well, Pastor, can you offer any inspiration today? And I say, there is inspiration for the pilgrim and your journey of faith. Because you will find in life, in your journey of faith, you will come across times when it seems like there is no hope, there is no possibility of anything good coming out of this. Have you been in those situations? You just want to throw up your hands and say, there is no hope for anything. Nothing but bad is going to happen. And when we look at Isaac, the author of Hebrews wants us to know that it seems like there's nothing but bad that could happen. But Isaac was a man that believed that God was the God of possibilities. He did not lose hope because he believed God could take things that seemed impossible and things that seemed like there was no hope, and from them could bring about his will and his plan. And that's the way it is for you. Have you ever stopped dreaming about the possibilities that God could do? See, people that become people of dynamic faith always are hoping and believing God that God is the God of possibilities. I'll tell you this story. It's a story that is told by a man named Larry Carter. He tells how he was, as a boy, played Little League baseball. His coach would begin the, one year began the season, and he had all the boys come to his home, and they had burgers, and they had hot dogs, a big picnic, and oh, it was just a great time for them all. And then when the picnic was done, the coach gathered the boys together for a pep talk, and he asked this question, boys, how many of you would like to make it to the major leagues one day? And all the boys raised their hands. He said, all right, let's get busy. And he begins to coach these boys. They had a really good team. In fact, this group of boys was undefeated for a number of years. He tells that other teams that were all-star teams would come and play their local team, and the local team would win. 25 years after that, Mr. Carter tells that he was a little league coach. And so he thought he would do the same pep talk that his coach gave him. And so he gathers the boys around at their first practice. And he said, boys, how many of you would like to play in the big leagues? How many would like to be a big leaguer? And no boy raises his hand. Anybody? Anybody? Not one. And so he thought, boy, my pep talk is going to work anyway. So, well, let's just go throw and get going. He gave up on it. But he makes this comment. And let me read to you exactly what he writes of this incident. He says, What happened in the 25 years since I was a kid? What had come into their lives to steal their dreams? What had convinced them that they would never be more than what they were? So let me ask you about, have you just become so satisfied with where you are and you stopped dreaming about what God could do in your life? What he could make you, the kind of person you could become far beyond where you are, the kind of things God could do in your life beyond where you are. I wonder, are you still dreaming of the possibilities? People that become people of dynamic faith always are people that believe God for the possibilities that he could do. Well, we go from seeing the possibilities to another wonderful hero of the faith. The next hero of the faith we learn, read about in verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 11. And from this hero of faith, his name is Jacob, we learn that people who become people of dynamic faith look beyond the moment to have a perspective of what God can and will do. We learn from Isaac that we see the possibilities of what God to do. But when we learn from Jacob that people that have this dynamic faith look beyond the moment to have a perspective of what God can and will do. Now, when the author of Hebrews tells us about Jacob's faith, he relays God's perspective of Jacob's past and Jacob's perspective of the future. God tells us that in Jacob's life, and you consider his story, it reminds us of God's grace in the past. There are two reminders in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, that tell us of one event in the past. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon his staff. Now, there are two references to one event in the life of Jacob. Let me ask you this. Jacob had another name. What was Jacob's other name? You talk to me. Who was it? Israel. Jacob had another name. His name was Israel. God gave him that other name. But when God refers to this man in this passage, it is interesting that he refers to him not as Israel, but as Jacob. And that is significant. So take your Bible. Go with me now again to the book of Genesis. And look at the... Let's see the story where God changes Jacob's name to Israel. Genesis chapter 32. Now in Genesis chapter 32, remember what the last time we left Jacob and his brother Esau, did they have a good relationship? Man, the last thing we read, what were the last words out of Esau's mouth about his brother Jacob? When I see that guy, I'm going to kill him. Whew. Dysfunctional. Dysfunctional. So Jacob leaves. He goes off, he leaves his family, he leaves all behind, and he goes and makes his own way in the world. And all these years, he's making his own way in the world, but he's still estranged from his brother. There comes a time when he says, you know, I need to go home. And so he goes home, he goes back to the land of his fathers, and the night before he is to see his brother, he's all alone. He's in the wilderness under the stars. And something very interesting happens to him. We read about it, Genesis chapter 32. Read with me beginning in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he, that's the man, prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. He put his hip bone out of joint. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And this mysterious wrestler says to Jacob, thy name, verse 28, shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So Jacob is wrestling this mysterious man, but he realizes along the way, this isn't just anybody. This isn't just somebody that snuck up on me in the middle of the night. He realized he's wrestling with God. This is called, you'll see these a number of times throughout the Old Testament, this is called a theophany. When God appears in human form to men and reveals himself, and he's wrestling and he's wrestling, and after a while, Jacob realizes that he must have the blessing of this being whom he's wrestling, because this being is far bigger and far stronger, and he says, I must have his blessing, and he holds on and will not let God go until his blessing came. This was the turning point in Jacob's life. Up to this time, what a rascal he was. There came a time when finally he was broken and submitted to God's authority in his life. And he said, God, finally, I want your blessing more than anything else. And God said, Jacob, now it's time for your life to change. You were a deceiver. Everybody knew you. Just your name meant deceiver. That's how you lived your whole life, trying to manipulate people. But now you are a prince of God. That's what Israel means, or a prince with God. Now, your life has changed. And then I want you to notice verse 31, something else that happens. He passes over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted on his thigh. We call that a limp. Just had his joint, his hip put out of his socket, out of joint. You can imagine he's limping. But wait a minute. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 32. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. There's something else. Beside his joint, his bone being put out of joint, his hip out of joint, God caused the sinews, that is the tendons and ligaments and all of that that holds it together, God caused it to shrink. So that from this day forward, Jacob always walked with a limp. His whole life. And it reminded him back of the day when he wrestled with God and God finally broke him. And he surrendered his will to God. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, when this incident is described, there are two things that you notice when you read it. One, that the name that God uses for Jacob is not the name, you're a prince with God. That's the name you would think would be used for somebody who's a hero of faith. But no, he said, you're Jacob. You're the guy that was a deceiver. You're the guy that was a loser until the time when you let me have your life. And then he says something else, a detail about when he gave this blessing to his boys, that he was leaning on his staff. You see, he always had to have a cane, a walking stick, a staff, because he limped. And it reminds us of the man that he used to be before God changed his life. The grace of God to change your life. Wow. So when we read about Jacob in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded not just of the grace of God that can change your life, but wait a minute. Jacob then looks forward and he looks at the time whenever God would do something on behalf of for his name and for his purposes in the world. Because Jacob, you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that he gives a blessing to the sons of Joseph. Now that is another incident that is recorded in the book of Genesis. And in this case, it reminds us of God's grace in the future. He blessed the sons of Joseph. For time, you can read about this in the book of Genesis, chapter 48. But for time, I won't go to it in detail, but let me tell you about it. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob now is at the end of his life. And as he's at the end of his life, he wants to pass a blessing along. He is in the land of Egypt. Remember how that God brought Joseph there to preserve life. And the people of Israel, Israel's family, the tribes of Israel moved there. And they're under the protection of Joseph. God preserved them. Joseph is at, Jacob wants to give a blessing to Joseph. He calls him and he says, bring your boys with you. He had two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the boys came and Jacob gives Joseph a blessing. And he gives a blessing to his two sons as well. Interestingly that Ephraim was the younger, Manasseh the older, and normally, the oldest son would have the greater blessing, and the blessing would be placed with the right hand. The younger son would receive a lesser blessing. The blessing would be given with the left hand. But he puts his hands out, and he puts the right hand of greater blessing on the head of the younger son, Ephraim, and the left hand, the hand of lesser blessing on the son of Manasseh. And he begins to give a blessing to them. Well, Joseph sees this. Dad, don't you know what you're doing? That's what our kids say to him. Dad, don't you know what you're doing? He said, no, son, I'm doing this wittingly. And he goes on and describes that while there will be a great blessing for the elder Manasseh, there will be a greater blessing for the younger Ephraim. But while he looked back on his life, now he's saying that these boys will receive the blessing of being in the very land, and their family, or their families, will be part of the blessing that God promised Abraham, and he promised Isaac, he promised me, this Abrahamic covenant, because God has something for my people in the future. God's grace in the past, God's grace for the future. You see, whatever God has for your future, the very grace that brought you thus far in the past is the grace that will sustain you into the future. Don't fear. Don't fear the future. Embrace it. For the grace of God is always going to be with you wherever He sends you. So, we learn then that people who live beyond the moment see the possibilities of what God can do. They see or have the perspective of what God can and will do. And then the Holy Spirit of God takes us to one more individual who is a hero of the faith. His name is Joseph. So turn with me, if you would, back to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read the account as God reveals in one very short verse this dimension of Joseph's faith. What a life Joseph lived. Do you remember his story? You talk about a guy with ups and downs. You talk about a guy every time things seemed to go right, it went bad again. And then God makes bad good, ultimately preserving the life of his family and the generations to follow. But you talk about a guy that it seems humanly had a raw deal. It's him. What a great hero he is. But you would think that in the book of Hebrews, when you're describing a hero of the faith, you would think that Joseph would have a whole lot said about him, wouldn't you? But you know, in all that is said, there's only one verse that tells about Joseph, verse 23 or 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, this is a reference to Joseph's last days. And I'm going to turn in my Bible, you're welcome to join me, to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. In fact, the last verses of the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph is ready to pass on to heaven. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here. And Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Isn't it interesting, whenever Joseph dies, he had one great concern. His great concern was, what are you going to do with my bones? What are you going to do with my bones? He says, here's what I want you to do. There will come a time when you'll leave this place. You won't be here anymore. There's a land that God our father, or God promised our fathers. It's the land of Canaan. There's a land that is going to be our land, and I in my lifetime will not see it. But there will come a time someday when you will be in that land, and I want you to do me this favor. Would you make sure whenever you leave, you take my bones with you? And when you get there, would you put my bones to rest in Canaan? So Joseph dies. It's over 400 years that the people of Israel lived in Egypt. They prospered, they grew from a family to a nation. Pharaoh was very intimidated by them, that they could cause an uprising. So he makes them slaves. Eventually they cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears their cry and sends Moses, and Moses delivers them with the plagues, and finally they're sent out of Egypt. In fact, Exodus chapter 12 tells us of this. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And when the people left, guess what they took with them? Genesis chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away from hence. And they leave Egypt with Joseph's bones. Remember, they disobeyed the Lord as they left Egypt, and so God punished them, and they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. But eventually, under the leadership of Joshua, they go into the land that God promised, the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. Whenever the people came to the place that was Joseph's homeland, his family's homeland, you know what they did? They buried his bones in the land of Canaan. Nearly 500 years after Joseph said, hey, would y'all make sure you get me out of here and carry my bones out and take care of them when you get there. From that we learn this. From that we learn that people who look beyond the moment live on the promises God has made. What would keep Joseph going in all the ups and downs? You talk about unfair. Life is unfair for that guy. It was his faith. And even in the dying days, he looked beyond that there is a God who keeps his promises. And while in my lifetime, I will have not experienced God's faithfulness to take us to his promised land, it will happen. So when you get there, make sure my bones go right along with you. What keeps you going? What keeps you going is living by faith in what God has said. So that we don't have to live on explanations, we live on God's promises. I wonder if God is dealing with you about looking beyond the moment. In the life path that you're on right now. And I want you to think, if I stay on this path, what's the end? I'm where I am. What's the end? Where's it going to lead me? And God is dealing with you because somewhere along the way, the path you're on, you've realized isn't the path that God has for me. And so by faith, right now, I'm going to look beyond the moment. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to make adjustments in the path of my life now. Because I'm beginning new today with the end in mind. Would you stand with me, please? while our heads are bowed, do you see the possibilities of what God could do? Is He lifting your vision? Do you see a perspective of what God can do and what He will do by faith? And I wonder if you're saying, I've got to live for the promises of God, but this is a day that God wants to make an adjustment in my life. I haven't yet received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God has the power to save. Jesus came and died and rose again for you as God the Son. He has the power to save. He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. He is a God that is holy and just. He must deal with sin, but He's a God who's loving and gracious. And He took the penalty of sin for you so you can have the gift of eternal life. And you say, I've never received Jesus. This is the day for you to come and make that decision. You're thinking about your life and you're living as you're living it now. And you're thinking, wait, if I'm going to become the person God wants me to become, I've got to make a change in my course correction because where I'm going is not going to take me to a place that will bring glory to God or bring blessing to me. And it is time for me, while God the Spirit has spoken, to say, this is the day, on this day, that I make a change in my life for the glory of God, believing Him by faith. So, Lord, in this congregation, there are people that You're dealing with in very specific ways. Today is a day in which their lives will change in some way. So help each of us, whatever it is that You desire for us, to respond in a way that we'll be grateful for in eternity. And so we'll believe You, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The instruments are playing. Your head is bowed. This is the time for you to make a decision. This is the time for you to say, okay, I need Christ in my life. I'm trusting Him. This is the time for you to say, there's some things that have got to change. God is dealing with me about it. You can make that decision where you are in your seat, but there are men here who are just waiting, and they'll direct you to have someone pray with you if that you want. If you want to make these front chairs or these steps, an altar where you make before the Lord and you meet with God and make these commitments in faith, then this is a time for you to respond to the Lord.